Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can find me also on the Game Brain podcast if you like board games like I do. And joining me is someone who I once got to play Settlers of Catan with. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben. I'd like to build a road through your sheep factory.
Well, that can be arranged, but no sheep shall be spared. Okay, sheep are very precious. Despite what many people say about sheep in Catan. How are you doing, Ronnie? Happy Monday.
Well, thank you. I just love a Monday.
Yeah. So does the world. People famously love Mondays. You know?
Yeah, I actually don't mind Monday. It's just that first getting out of bed moment that I really mind. Yeah. But otherwise, you know what? You're great. It's a day of promise. It's the first, okay?
That's a great way to put it. This is the first of something special, which is that the building next door to mine is getting demolished. So if you hear any bangs and hammers and things like that, there's literally nothing I can do because it might just be noisy for a while. I will try my best. I will try my best to make the sound experience on my end as optimal as possible. And it's pretty quiet right now. But I'm just giving a heads up to listeners. I'm sorry for any construction noises you may hear for the next, I don't know, 18 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're going to see. But more importantly, you guys, this week, on Thursday are the crappies. We are running out of time. The crappies are happening Thursday night. We have a huge roster of guests. It's going to be amazing. I think we mentioned several of them the other day, but in case you didn't hear, some of the people who are confirmed and will be participating, we got Ira Madison from Keep It. We got Ryan Bailey from So Bad It's Good. Laura Shanehalls from Sexy Unique Podcast. We got Sasha from the Bravo Breakdown. And Sasha's also going to be on Watch What Happens Live this week. So that's very cool. Kate Casey. We got the two judgy girls. Jackie Schimmel's doing a little something. We got Ray Sani, Danny Pellegrino. We got the reality gays, formerly known as 90 Day Gays, Matt and Jake. And just like, actually, that's only part of the roster. There's actually many more. It's going to be a great, great night. We're going to have a lot of fun. So go get your tickets at watchacrappens.com. You'll also find a ballot there where you can vote. It's going to be at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And what's really cool is that when you during this thing, you'll be able to like chat, you know, that's like cyber chat. Why am I talking like an old person all of a sudden? You can message. We'll try to like answer things on the air, but you can message with other people that are there who are logged in. It's going to be a really, really fun time. So I hope you all can join us this Thursday.
Do it. And now is the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, followed by the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes. So, big doubleheader episode for us today. And the episode opens up with Meredith in bed, just lying there in bed, enjoying her morning. And guess who walks in? The most romantic man in all of Utah. Seth.
Seth, God, you're so romantic, Seth. Good morning.
He's like, I got you flowers first thing in the morning, which is kind of weird.
It's a flower.
I got flower just to let you know that we fully blossomed. Ugh. And then they kiss.
Is this guy's face scabbier every day? They're on. Something's going on drug-wise with that guy. He looks like a cold sore. His face looks like one big cold sore.
You know, it's funny because at a scene later on, I thought, are these too high right now?
Yeah.
Maybe it's I think they're just
fucked up a lot, which, you know, I know sounds judgy, and I guess it is judgy. I just old-fashioned. Like, I like getting fucked up, but you hide it, and then you feel ashamed of it until you're high again. And then you don't feel ashamed. That's the circle, people, okay? You don't just break it. You don't just, like, start getting high and coming on TV all the time with your scabby face and pretending that it's a romantic scene, okay? Live in the shame!
Yeah, well, he basically is like, so I wanted to give you a rose to remind you of me, to show that we fully blossomed. And of course, as you look at that rose over the next few days, you'll see it slowly wither and die. And then you'll figure out, wonder to yourself, who's going to clean this up? And that's when you'll say, it's going to be me because I'll be somewhere else. Love you.
And then there will be a rumor that she's, you know, she's taken a flower from somebody else because her other flower withered. So they kiss grossly. I don't need to see you two in love. I liked you better separated.
Yeah.
I've got to say that.
Especially because he's a dick. Let's not forget that part.
Yeah, they never get to that conversation because this whole episode, they're like, yeah, well, we decided that we're going to, like, get things, twitch, we're going to get things back together. We're just going to work it out. Okay, so you're moving to Ohio? Because that's kind of what you need to work this out. Either you move to Ohio or he moves here, okay? Otherwise, you're just kicking that can down the road. Vote for me, Rondell, for mayor.
I think that she just has a fetish for Ellen Alda voice, you know? I think that's what draws her back to him.
So then we go over to Lisa's house. I love that. I love houses.
I love houses.
And they're saging, and she's like, after that weekend I had, you know what? You have to not only sage the house, you have to sage me. No, around me. Henry, you're burning me. Henry, out! Henry's like burning her to death.
Henry's like, finally, I've been given a sign that I'm allowed to light my mother on fire.
Then we go over to Beauty Lab, which is being remodeled by a hot guy named Nick. And Heather's just that lady who's like
16.
Yeah, he is. But Heather seems like she's always flirting with everybody all the time. I think just because she's like, oh my God, look at me. I'm single. I'm not married. I'm ostracized. Ah, Nick. Ah! Like, lady, this is one of your friend's sons. Back away from Nick, please.
Heather is so the woman who brings balloons to high school. Like, there's like a bake sale and you're like, shit, I forgot the balloons. And then Heather shows up. Don't worry. I got the balloons, guys. I got the balloons. Here you go. Okay. I'll buy a brownie too. Okay. Have a great bake sale.
Here. Oh my God. You know, it's Jennifer's birthday. Oh, I've got candles in my purse, guys. She's just always prepared to please.
She like, it's not like in a desperate thing. It's just like, I feel like in high school, there were certain moms that like everyone knew because they just always seemed to be there to provide a useful resource.
Well, I think that there's a little desperation there. I mean, it's Heather for Christ's sake, you know, and she's really cute and stuff, she does have that edge of desperation. She's got that like Brittany Murphy and Clueless vibe.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. That's a good and sort of sad comparison.
Yeah. So then we go over to Jen's chalet, and you know, she's going through the same problem that I think this is the most relatable thing that Jen has ever gone through actually on the show, trying to find a fucking plug behind her dresser. I mean, really. Like that, we've all been there. I've been there recently. Not easy.
No, it's not. And she has to do it alone, which is what's more devastating. So she says, I am hurting. I busted my ass to pull off the surprise party of the year to show Sharif just how much I love him and connect with him. And then it all went out the fucking window. I'm like, well, because you also lost your damn mind over some stupid ass shit. But that's
fine. Yeah. It's kind of like watching a murder show on ID Channel, which I love to do. And it's always like someone else's fault that you murdered them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like always. Like, well, I had to kill it. You know, she hid my car keys. Like, well, but you still are the murderer. So she tells us, and this is like a huge monologue for Jen. She's like, you know, the party was ruined when Whitney brings up some bullshit and I get pissed. And then the whole thing goes to shit. I'm embarrassed. I'm sad. I'm disappointed in myself because I lost control. But it's because that party at Topgolf just meant so much to me. And now I'm more alone and depressed because Sharif isn't talking to me. Topgolf isn't taking my calls.
What is this world that I live in right now? What is this world?
Yeah.
So apparently Sharif is giving her the silent treatment, which is like really not cool. And she's saying that, like, I can deal with whatever. I can deal with whatever, which is a lie. But I need Sharif backing me up. And now that my rock isn't here, I don't know what to do with myself. So she's like, you know, Sharif stepping away for a few days is actually exactly what Jen probably loved, because it gives her license to tell everyone, like Starbucks, post office, do you understand? My husband isn't speaking to me right now. Do you understand?
Jen, I just wrote down, she's never going to truly apologize. That's my first impression of the scene. I mean, yeah. She did say, I'm embarrassed, I'm sad, I'm disappointed in myself because I lost control, but I'll bet you she's never going to apologize properly.
Yeah.
So then we go to Whitney, who's at Beauty Lab, and they start talking about the party that Whitney kind of blew up. And she's like, I have such mixed emotions about the whole night. Like, so many different, like, I'm mortified, but then, like, I change, and then I'm pissed off, and then I'm like, what? Which I think is just such a Whitney sentence.
Yeah, it really captures the scope of her emotional experience on a day to day basis.
I'm like, I'm what? Mortified,
then I'm pissed off. Then I'm like, what? So Heather's like, you did nothing wrong. You did nothing wrong. And to prove it, I'm gonna hold your hand over several red hots and little gummy bears and pastel candies. Okay, you did nothing wrong.
Do you need birthday candles? Because I've got some in my purse. And Whitney tells us that Sharif's party was a disaster, but she was just coming from a place of love, guys, okay? She just wanted to be a good friend to Jen by getting her to fight with everybody else at the party. She just wanted her to know people are talking behind her back, you know? But before she could get her point across, the other women jumped in, and then it was an epic failure. Lady, you took 10 minutes and did the same lines literally like 3 times, okay? Rehearse more, okay? It's not everybody's fault that you messed up the tap solo.
It was an epic failure the moment you opened your mouth. There was no reason why this should have been brought up at the party. I mean, I appreciate that you did because, you know, made for good TV. But there was no reason that it needed to be brought up at the party. It was only going to be a disaster. And, it was going to be an epic failure regardless of who stepped in.
Jen, you know that I am a teller truth. Wait, hold on. Can we start again? Jen, you know that I am truth tell. Can we start again? Jen,
get to it.
You know that I love Penn and Teller. Wait, no. What was I trying to say again?
So Whitney's like, yeah, when you came in, Heather, then everybody starts screaming. You know, all I was trying to do was pull her aside. Okay. And Heather's like, I never came at Jen. I was just there to back you up.
Yeah. I didn't understand what Whitney was getting at. Heather did not accelerate a situation.
She did.
Whitney was like not using her words, and Heather's like, the other girls are scared of you. Bye. Just sort of said it. And that's not why it went crazy. Heather was just like, I am making, if anything, it was Whitney. Whitney took so long to get it out that it gave Lisa and Meredith time to notice what was going on and come outside.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. And Heather's like, well, tell me what you wanted me to do. She goes, but I wanted to avoid blow up. Can I do that again? No. There's no avoiding a blow up. You know, I didn't want her to blow up at you, but I wanted her, you know, I wanted her to know that her friends are saying they're scared because they're lying to my face, they're lying to your face, and they get away with it, these lying ladies. So Heather wants Jen mad at the other ladies because Heather is mad at the other ladies.
Yeah,
she wants somebody kind of on her side.
Heather is basically mad at Lisa. I don't know if she has an axe to grind with Meredith, but since Meredith and Lisa are kind of like a package deal, she's like, whatever, I'm mad at both of them. The one who sells tequila and the one who's effortlessly elegant.
Yeah, and she admits she's basically gel because she says that Jen just wants to be associated with them because she considers them like the upper echelon in Utah, so it makes her look better. And she's like, well, she's betting on the wrong hand. And I'm like, why bet on that, love? We're true friends. I mean, they're just saying the things she wants to hear. And you know what? We took a huge risk with her, and we get annihilated, and I'm over it. So now they were doing like a really good thing by coming to Jen. Oh, I love Housewives.
Yeah, exactly. And Heather's like, that's why I want to say, girl, why are you so thirsty for their love when they have zero investment in who you are, your life, you know? So, Also, I have candles in my bag. I need candles for the birthday cake.
Yeah, she's like twisting a balloon into the shape of a horse.
Girl, the other girls are scared of you. Also, do you like this balloon dog? Does it work for you?
So then we go back to the most romantic couple in town, Seth and Meredith. And he's like,
put on the ski goggles. I think you'll look real hot. And I'm saying, oh, God, ski goggles, Seth.
She clearly is not impressed with the ski goggle deal that he got, because she just starts yammering, clearly just trying to sort out her feelings, like, on the inside while she talks bullshit on the outside. She's like, well, that's great just to have, because they get lost, they can get scratched, things happen all the time. I mean, you know, you never know what you're gonna get with ski goggles. Ski goggles, you know, they could come alive someday and kill us all, to be honest. So, you know, it's really good. All right, are we moving on yet? Can I stop talking about ski goggles?
Yeah, one thing women love when men buy them something to enjoy the man's hobby with, you know? Like, my dad bought my mom a bowling ball for Christmas once, and she almost hit him in the head with it. Like, what the fuck are you buying me a bowling ball for? I was like, but I love bowling.
This is like a discount gift. He's like, I got a great deal on ski goggles, as if that's like a revolutionary concept in Utah. Like, wow, there's a deal on ski goggles in Utah. So so she's like, oh wow, it's wonderful. And he's like, put them on. She's like, that'll be my Valentine's gift. I'm like, and he's not even mic'd up, so we have to, like, not only do we have to, like, hear him be disgusting about ski goggles, but we have to hear him with bad audio.
I know. It's like you can hear a new scab breaking out on his forehead, you know? And he's like, hey, you know what's on my bucket list, honey? Sex and ski goggles. She goes, oh, yeah? How about ski goggles and heels, Seth?
How about a tragic accident on the slopes, okay? This is too much. So, Meredith is like, you know, I'm starting to realize how much I love Seth and need him, because without him, I wouldn't have these cheap ski glasses made by Dido. Does this say Dido or does it say Speedo? Dido. So this is just not even a real Speedo ski glass. Okay.
You know, we're just going to work through the noise and make sure we're on the same journey. And this time I'm not getting bugs in my eyes. Ski goggles.
By the way, I should mention, I of course don't want anything tragic happening to Seth and Meredith. Just the conversation. I just want the words that are coming out of their mouth to go skiing and those words to die on the slope. But they can stay alive in their bedroom.
Oh, that's so nice, Ben. So then we go to a classic Housewives trope, everybody talking about the party in their own house. So we cut to Lisa, and she's like, well, you know how when Jen does the party, it's all about Jen? Well, this is all about Jen and her husband. So it was, like, different. So it was, like, hip-hop and golf. So some people liked hip-hop, some people liked golf. So everyone's dancing. Like, Whitney's a good dancer, but you know, like in Utah, the girls in Utah are good at two things: dancing and getting married really young, and breeding, which is three things. But you know what? Sometimes you do that while you get married. Sometimes you do it while you're golfing. Sometimes you do it while you do hip hop. So I'm just combining them all. So she's twerking and her legs are over her head, which is so inappropriate. Twerking for someone else's husband. I mean,
I was having the best time until Whitney upset Jen. I didn't love that. So now we go over to Jen talking to her assistant, Crystal, who's the only, you know, Crystal is the person who's like, she needs to walk faster because she's clearly always the last person to leave the house when the Shaw Squad departs. And so she's the one who gets stuck talking to Jen in the foyer about stupid shit, you know?
Yeah.
So Jen is like, So Whitney was trying to, like, try to come at me or whatever. And she's like, why are you doing that at my husband's birthday party? And then it switches over to Meredith's house. And Meredith is like, well, it starts with Whitney. And she says to Jen that Mary told her that Lisa and I are both afraid of Jen. And you know what? Somebody's lying. And I'm going to put some ski goggles on all of them. And I'll see who the real liar is, depending on who fogs up their ski goggles first.
And back to Lisa. I mean, I never said that. Really? Come on. Like, it was so bizarre. She picked Sharif's birthday to throw me under the bus. And Meredith under the bus. And Mary under the bus. Maybe she should work more on her dance moves.
and more on being an adult, because Utah girls are known for one thing, being excellent dancers.
And breathing while they're twerking.
And as we all know, dancing leads to breeding and breeding leads to marriage. So I guess Utah girls are really known for one thing, dance, sex, marriage.
So then back to Jen. She's like, this has started problems in my marriage because now Sharif won't even take my calls. Like, he's embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
Sounds like a Sharif issue. Like, if Sharif is, like, not talking to you for 4 days because of this incident, it's not that Whitney caused an issue. It's that you guys have some very, very, very deep issues already.
Yeah, I mean, look, she invited all of his friends and family that he hadn't seen in years, according to her, and then that's how it ends. I mean, I'd be pretty pissed, too. And I don't know how much of this not talking to her is because he's off doing his work where he's gone anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, is he pulled a Ralph where he's just, like, in Tampa? Or is he just, like, on a regular work thing and not returning her calls? I don't really know. But I'd be pissed, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, though, like, I think he can be pissed. I just think that he should, you know, answer his wife's calls.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Meredith is like, we go back to Meredith and she's like, if anything, Whitney could have asked me about it, but quite frankly, it's none of Whitney's business to begin with. And that's why I don't want to be around Whitney. The last thing I need is someone running around spreading false rumors about my marriage.
Mm-hmm. And she's also mad because Jen is supposedly talking about her marriage, you know? And so, then Meredith is like, you know, these women, it's just exhausting and it's draining, Seth. He's like, want to fuck with ski goggles and heels? Oh, God damn, Seth. Jeez. Put your goggles and heels on. Do it now. Ooh, yeah.
I got a 2-for-1 deal on these goggles. So now we go over to Mary, her obligatory scene, because I don't know what's going on with Mary. We only get like one scene with her crazy ass, and that's like highway robbery for us. Like, it's being stolen away from us. So Mary is in her hoarder's closet with Charlinda, and she just finds some random ass belt and puts it on and breaks the zipper, and she just gets stuck in it. And Charlinda's trying to help her out of it, but I think it's going to be there for life.
Yeah, poor Charlinda and her gloves. She's always got to wear rubber gloves everywhere. And Mary's like, you know, I love fashion. It's like an escape. And, you know, like, I have a closet. It's like a revolving, like, door, like a department store. And so she talks about all the room that she has for her clothes, basically. And then Whitney comes over. And Mary's like, oh my God, I'm having a malfunction with my belt, and I'm claustrophobic. Jeez, yeah. You've got a lot of issues.
Yeah, exactly. So Whitney's actually FaceTiming, and she's telling Mary about the party, et cetera, and how she talked to Jen and all this stuff. And even Mary is like, I mean, that's Jen's husband's birthday party. You don't do that. Okay, you don't do that. Even with someone who smells like hospital, you just don't do that. No.
And she's like, yeah, but I thought she would respect that I was coming to her. So I just want to make sure I understood you clearly. Could you do it 5 times? It takes me a long time to memorize things.
And Mary is like, well, the girls really did say that. And I don't say anything that isn't true. Like the time I was in the hospital for a month getting my odor glands removed. I say nothing that is untrue.
So Whitney's like, what do I do now? You know, I don't know what to do now. So you're coming to Mary for advice? Mary, who Jen hates? How do I make things better with Jen? You know, the lady who refuses to speak to you and is icing you out. And Mary's like, well, I would, you know, call Jen and tell her how you feel. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. praying for you. That'll cost you half of your mortgage, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So now Heather is at New Beauty Lab, the construction site, and she's with her, like her partner or whatever. And they're walking through, and they love the ceiling, and there's tiles that cost $35 a tile. And they made like a mosaic in the floor of the bathroom. I think it said, did it say Live Love Lab or Live Laugh Lab or
Live Love Lab?
So yeah, and Heather's like, I love that. This is such an Instagram moment. I'm like, the floor of your bathroom that messes up the Live Laugh Love thing that no one already, everyone's already over Live, Laugh, Love.
Yeah, it's kind of old.
You took out the laugh, you moved the love up, and then you added lab.
Your Instagram moment is on the floor. I mean, I guess she knows her customers. They're all taking like space selfies, you know?
Yeah, it should be like aimed towards the toilet too, by the way. So that when you're sitting on the toilet, you can be like, oh, cool, I'll take a picture of that. And no one has to know I'm sitting on the toilet. Not like aimed towards the door. It's like when you have to go to the bathroom, you are running to that toilet. You are not opening the door, stopping at the threshold and saying, oh, look at that memeable mosaic on the floor that I have to put on Instagram. You're going to the toilet. It should be like right at your feet.
Yeah, I feel like you don't want your Instagram moment right in front of a shitter. I mean, in general. Yeah. So she tells us, you know, it was so different when she was married because she could never have a business. I mean, her job was to support Billy. And ironically, if he hadn't left, I wouldn't be able to open or make it successful.
So
guys, Heather's divorced. It's really hard.
I was like, I don't know what else to say.
Like, she's been ostracized, guys. I don't know if you know, if you've heard, but it's like she is ostracized from society.
She learned business. She has birthday candles in her bag, and she knows business. So they're basically going to go on salary, and Heather's going to stop taking alimony, which is great. And you know, Beauty Lab on the up and up. Beauty Lab, the sequel. Can't wait to see what Nick does with it when he starts working there.
So Seth and Meredith go on a double date with John and Lisa. And Seth's like, can we sit in the gluten-free section?
Yeah, and he opens the door for Meredith and he goes, for the lady. I'm like, oh, like, why are you ruining everything? Why? You're ruining doors. You're ruining
their
doors.
Their relationship must have been really fucking terrible because... because they are acting ridiculous, you know?
I don't believe this for 1 second. They sit down and, you know, they're wondering if Lisa and John are going to be on time. And Meredith's like, well, Lisa's not on time ever. And so Seth goes, well, in the meantime, let's get sauced. Mm-hmm. And then they like have this sloppy kiss where like they go into kiss and Meredith's like upper lip just like slides right on up to his like nostrils, you know? And I'm like, this is just, we all know what that is. That's saliva above the lip for him and bristles under the lip for her. And we just know it's just, no.
So guess who's here? Guess who's not late? Guess who loves that? Me, Lisa. Oh my gosh. Look at us. We are totally dressed the same. I'm totally not surprised. We are basically wearing the same outfit. Class knows class.
Yeah. So the guys came and installed a new security system today. So if we get into an argument, we can roll footage and see who can touch what. Can I touch that? Can I touch that? Roll the footage.
I don't know if that's such a good idea. Okay, look, I've got something to tell you guys. Oh my God, are you pregnant?
And then the waitress comes by the way, to tell everyone that she recommends the burrata. I was very impressed with her. She was there for 1 second, but she really made an impression. She's like, I'm going to be on camera, max 3 seconds. I am going to fit as many rolling R's as I can.
Oh, thank you. We'll take that. You know why? Because we're starting a new beginning. Oh, I love that.
I love that. Is that like when you go to your security camera and say, roll that from the beginning? Is that what that's like?
We're happy like 90% of the time, so we're gonna figure it out to where we're living in the same home in Ohio, Utah. All right, well, we gotta work that one out still, I guess.
And then as evidence of Lisa being a supportive friend, we have this weird like flashback, like where the entire, like a true flashback where the footage actually rewinds, much like that security footage. It rewinds of them walking out of the restaurant, and then it's like a month earlier, and it's just Lisa and Meredith soaking their feet at some spa and talking about, like, what's going to happen? Can I touch your heart? Can I touch that? I'm so sad. I love that. I'm so sad. I love that.
So cut back, and Lisa's like, best ever. I love this. You know what? Just so you know, there's no Seth without Meredith and vice versa. No one wants to hear that. Like, you're nothing without your husband, especially someone who's like considering being separated or was considering being separated 2 seconds ago. You're nothing without your husband. Okay? Go back to your husband.
I know. Because, by the way, there's a very good shot that this could still fall apart. So now Meredith is going to be thinking that. I'm nothing without Seth. I'm just a one-for-one ski goggle deal.
Yeah, as I can say as a longtime waiter, you know, and a judge of restaurant character, the couples who come into the restaurant and have to, like, kiss it, like, make, and I'm not showing show any PDA, but the ones who are like, nah, nah, like, those ones never stay together. Those couples always fucking get divorced, okay? And that's a little waiter knowledge for you guys. So that's, I don't believe in you, couple.
I don't want to take anything away from you, Ronnie. I actually am going to say that it goes beyond waiter knowledge. That's human knowledge. That's anyone who's been in a restaurant and seen those people, because they are so deeply insecure about their relationship and things are so rocky that they are like doing this big show to prove to everyone else that everything is great and also to prove to themselves. Okay. So there, it's true. We figured it out.
Yeah, solved. So then we turn to the Jen's party talk. First Lisa's like, well, you know, I'm so glad to hear they're back together because this shocked me. Because if that could happen to them, that could happen to me. So I sighed for relief for them and for me, because that probably means my husband's not leaving me either.
Okay. If that could happen to them, that could happen to me, and that would be devastating, because then I'd have to hire someone else for the company, and I don't want to do that.
Who's going to take care of Salty Wolf?
Who's going to take care of Hybrid Stools?
So they start talking about Jen's party, and Meredith is like, well, that was another drama-filled childhood. You work on a housewife show. It's like going to work at the factory and complaining that you have to screw milk caps on. You know what I mean? It's your job at the milk factory.
Wow, very specific factory right there. I thought you were going to say, like, it's like going to the factory and complaining that the robo-arm, like, yanked off your leg. But yours is pretty docile. Like, do you have to put the milk caps on?
I was scanning my brain for factory references, and that's all I could come up with.
That's okay. I like a milk factory. I mean, someone's got to put the tops on the milk. I mean, I always thought it was a robot, but, you know, maybe it's a human. It's a human putting, you know.
Yeah.
Where I grew up, there used to be a place called Marcus Dairy, and you could get Marcus milk. And I think of that only because I think it's funny to have a pint of milk named Marcus. I don't know. So,
yeah, you don't ever want like that to have a human name, you know? Like, yeah, nobody wants to drink Marcus's milk. It's creepy. Okay.
Yeah, I think I kind of block out most milk brands if I really think about it. What is this? Like Altadena or something like that? There's like,
you know, I don't know. I think it's okay. I mean,
I think
that's an okay quality to have, and I don't think you need to remember any. It's okay.
I just feel like maybe there should probably be like a better milk brand out there that we all know that milk, right? But generally speaking, when it comes to milk brands, I don't think there's any really strong national milk brand where it's like there's no like Tropicana of milk, right?
Lactaid.
That's true. There is lactaid. We'll always have lactaid. And silk.
We'll always have lactaid. Oh, yeah. And silk. Love that.
And so, I'm enjoying.
Lisa's like, well, you know what? Whitney is completely self-aware. I mean, what a twerker. You know, she's either twerking or breeding. Am I right? And Meredith is like, well, I'm not afraid of Jen, you know. But then I hear that Jen is saying bad things about me. I mean, God. What's that? I am the kind of woman to leave the house without ski goggles. What kind of thing is that to say to somebody?
And then Lisa, I love Lisa's twist on this. She goes, I don't believe Whitney, but if it's true, that's awful. Because if Jen really did say something to her in confidence, why are you repeating it? You're really a shitty person if you did that. So Lisa would think it's more awful that Whitney betrayed what Jen said in confidence in front of a camera, as opposed to that's awful that Meredith might be like quasi-cheating on Seth. Even though, by the way, I would totally support Meredith sleeping with another dude instead of Seth.
Yeah. And Seth is like, oh my God, the toxicity at this table. Come on, guys. Shut up, Seth. Okay?
Yeah.
This is called paying your rent, sir.
Exactly. Yeah, because earlier he goes, have some compassion for the immature. He's really, we, you know, one thing we are very lucky about is that we missed an episode over the break where he was broing out with the guys and he was just being so awful. He's like, so what's it like being a Muslim, huh? I'm like, Seth, please.
Are you allowed to drink that? Are Muslims allowed to drink? And he's like, are Mormons allowed to drink? Nah, no, Mormons can't do shit. All right, what chewing gum on the sidewalk? Do you guys believe in this one? Step on a crack, you break your mother's back. Muslim or no, go.
Women, am I right? Like, what?
So they all had that where they're like, women, am I right? And so it's like, yeah, it's like, mine doesn't even want to live in Ohio. What a loser. And then Sharif is like, yeah, and mine is always complaining that I'm always gone, but then when I'm here, then she's always gone. So why don't I get to complain that she's always gone? And then the tall one is just like, do you guys have to wake up in the morning and stuff envelopes for your wife?
what day of the week does your wife pay you? So Lisa's like, I really struggle to connect with the rest of the group because they're just not honest. And you know what? You know how you only have so much water in your well? Well, guess what? My well is dry. I got a dry well. I'm dry. I'm parched. Dry well. Anyone else have a dry well? Can I touch that? Can I touch your water bucket? I'm dry.
Ma'am, this is a housewife show. The last thing you're supposed to say is I'm dry, okay? You're supposed to convince everybody that your vagina is still working. It's like a housewife's thing. Like, do what Seth and Meredith are doing. They're like, look, we can still bang. Yeah, we do it all the time.
Yeah, just find some random object around the house and build a gross sex scene out of it. Be like, hey, John, you know what I found? A USB connector, 2-for-1 deal. What do you think about that? You know what my dream would be? To have sex with you while we plug this in and charge something. Right, John?
I'm just glad you're talking to me, honey. So then we get my favorite song. It's like angel vocal warm-ups.
None of the angels on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City have any long notes in them. None of them have any ethereal notes like, ah. They're like, ha, 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 ha. Because they're just like, are they all having Heimlich maneuvers being done to them? Like,
you know what angels in Utah are good for? Breeding. They're all like in Angel Lamaze classes.
But I was sad because you're right. It did sort of go down, and it really did not compare to last week, which had the famous.
Yeah.
Where is that song? Why'd they stop playing it? I feel like the moment that I said, like, I really articulated that song was my favorite, they literally pulled it from the schedule. And I do not. That's like literally one of the best pieces of instrumental transitional music, and it's like nowhere to be found. Like, give me some yeah.
It'll be back, Ben. Don't you worry.
Better be.
So Whitney and Heather are driving together, and Heather is excited and scared, and scared and excited, but excited, mostly scared, but excited. What if people are mean to me? And Whitney's like, well, I don't expect anything from Jen. She might come in blazing and she might be calm. Who knows? What I will say to her is, Jen, you know that I'm a shoot straight. Oh.
Who knows? I think that maybe Whitney's problem is that she's trying to talk to the beat of that interstitial music. That
I am a straight shoot.
So there's an invite to a spa that Whitney has extended. She wants to give Jen some peace because she seems kind of angry. So they're going to go to the spa where they can find some zen and have a conversation.
And it doesn't hurt that it is in the middle of nowhere, so she can't get up and leave.
Oh, she can get up and leave. Don't you worry about that. So they're basically in what I imagine is Utah's equivalent of Joshua Tree National Park, because they're in, like, they pull up to this, what looks like it's probably some sort of commune. Maybe this is where Wild Wild Country originally was took place. Maybe this is where their commune was in Utah. Oh, no, wait. Was that Oregon? It was Oregon.
Yeah, it wasn't Utah. I remember because I looked that shit up the second that documentary was over, because I was like, property has to be cheap there.
It had big Utah energy, though, you know? So either way, this is like dilapidated shack, and they go in, and there's like sort of like a hippie-ish kind of woman behind the desk, and she has a little chihuahua named Penny Pants in her shirt, and like they're all the tchotchkes around there, like crystals and like little wooden spoons, and I was like, Ronnie probably loves this.
No, not really. I've thought really? It was like a really, really dirty gift shop. I was like, okay, I get it. But you have a chihuahua in your boob pocket who's wearing a quilted outfit. Like, I can't with you. I didn't like it. I was very offended by the place. It's okay. Like,
I thought you were going to see the crystals and the, like the wooden things and be like, this is where I'd go with my mom to find stuff.
Well, I do go to those places, and I do get crystals, but I like crystals in my house. I don't necessarily like them in the crystal store. In the actual Christmas crystal store, you're like, did we lock the doors in the car? Because I feel like it's always like meth heads in there.
Yeah.
But this one was okay. This lady seemed fine. And, but she also seemed kind of judgy. Like, oh, look at these rich ladies coming up to my little peaceful. It's like, shut up, lady. You know, someone's got to pay for those dog quilt outfits.
Well, so then Jen shows up and she's driving on the way and she's like, I don't know where we are, but I would never want to live out here. And she's basically of the mindset that Whitney called her and was like, listen, I want to take you for a spa day and I want to apologize. And Jen is like, okay, well, if we're going to do a spa day, it better be a nice ass spa with a 24 karat gold mask, which is funny because it's not like she would get she doesn't get to keep the mask if that were to be. But I actually, believe it or not, I actually understood where she was coming from because I feel like this is not an apology spa. I feel like this is a fun adventure spa, but I think if you're trying to apologize to someone, you bring them to some place where they really feel pampered and not like driving hours away.
Well, this is Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. No one is letting them shoot in Utah. I mean, where have we seen them shoot? We saw them shoot like in a Dave and Buster's and some like fake, you know, prohibition bar in the back of an Walters. Antique shop or something.
How dare you?
Walters, dare you that's Walters. True. I doubt any of the spas would let them shoot. They are stuck out in the desert. But Jen, of course, is kind of rude, but I still think she's at least funny. She's like, this looks like the movie set of Saw, okay? So she goes into the shop and she goes, I wasn't sure where I was coming. I mean, are my friends coming? Because I kind of feel like you guys are going to kill me in this cabin. And the sales lady just looks at her like, see, Ronnie, that's why I'm judging these bitches.
Also, it's worth pointing out that when Jen got out of her car, she had brought a fly swatter with her, which I thought was funny. She's like, I know I'm going to need this fly swatter. Thank God I always carry a fly swatter with me everywhere I drive.
Actually, my mom did that, but it was just to hit us while we were in the back seat. She always had a fly swatter and a wooden spoon. So Whitney's like, well, I had my doubts, but she showed up in a good mood. So maybe this place really does have mystical powers.
And then in classic Heather fashion, she somehow manages to get tangled up with a tumbleweed. They're walking to these dubs, and she's like, ah, I'm caught. Is that a literal tumbleweed? Like, tumbleweeds gravitate towards Heather. I think that's great.
Oh, so they have to walk up this long hill to get to these little bathtubs where hot springs run into. And Jen is so pissed. She's like, I don't love this. What is this shit?
She's also wearing a boa over her robe. They change into robes, and she's like, I'm still going to wear the boa.
She's wearing a boa and a fur coat, like a fur vest thing.
Yeah. Oh. So they get to these tubs, and it's basically that there's like a natural hot spring, and there are these tubs, and the hot spring runs into the tubs, and then it goes through the tubs. And then the tubs they're kind of cool. They're kind of like crystallized over, and these tubs, Ronnie, are exactly the kind of tubs in the Cialis commercial I was talking about on the Southern Charm recap. This is what the Cialis commercial looked like. People in tubs in nature, holding hands.
So Whitney's like, well, listen, I feel bad about the party. You know I'm a straight shooter, right? She's like, oh, God. Heather's like, let's just get to it. It was my fault, okay? She's like, no, Whitney brought up the topic, Heather, so it's not your fault. And what I told you is, like, I'm trying to be present in my marriage, and I haven't put together a party for 25 years, so it hurt. And I'm trying, and it backfired, and I haven't talked to Sharif since the day of the party because he is pissed.
Yeah. And so then Heather keeps trying to, like, really take accountability for this because that's kind of like her thing. And she's like, no, well, it's all of our faults. It's all of our faults. I mean, mainly my fault, just how it was my fault that, you know, a volcano went off in Southeast Asia. Like, I could have emailed someone ahead of time. I should have known it was going to happen. It's my fault. This is what I have to say. It's my fault.
You know what? When it's my fault, I say it. For example, we were going to have this selfie moment in the new beauty lab that said, love, laugh, labia. And you know what? I just spelled it wrong. And now it just says, live, love, lab. I mean, you know what? Guess whose fault it is? Mine. I take the blame.
So then, but Jen is definitely not taking any fault in this. And she's like, none of this is my fault, basically. And Whitney's like, well, I didn't throw the glass, though, Jen. And then
but
Jen's
you
like,
guys
well,
you pushed me to throw a glass, okay? So don't do that, Whitney. Don't do it when you pushed me.
You did this at my husband's birthday party. And Whitney's like, I didn't blow up. I was trying to remember my line. Remember when I said, I am a teller truth. Ah, so hard.
You know how much that day meant to me, Whitney. I'm crying now. Whitney's like, yeah, but that is why I was trying to help. She goes, you had to do it there.
Jen is just losing her mind in a bathtub. It's so funny. And they have her put her fur like on a little tumbleweed thing next to her. And she's just so pissed now.
And she's also wearing her shoes in the bathtub. She's like, I'm going to wear my shoes because it's dirty in there. I'm like, okay, so the bottom of your feet are going to be protected from whatever dirt. And then meanwhile, the rest of your body's in there. So, okay, enjoy ruining your shoes. So then Jen's like, she's like, you had to do it there. You decided to bring it to me. You take responsibility. And Heather's like, you had a party and you smashed the glass. You did what you did. Also, I have birthday candles here if we want to do a redo.
My marriage is fucked up and Sharif hasn't been home since Saturday. And I fucked it up. Take responsibility for fucking it up, Jen. And she says, oh, he's so embarrassed. And she trusted Whitney. And Whitney, if you roll your eyes at me one more time, I'm going to come over there and drown you, bitch.
Yeah, and Whitney's like, I'm not rolling my eyes, Jen. And then Jen just like splashes the water off camera. And then we just hear a producer say, why did you splash the camera?
And she goes, that's what happens when you film me in a bathtub.
I was like, oh, okay. So it was their fault that you splashed them. Jen.
So she gets out and she storms off. And then Heather's basically like, Whitney, you have to have empathy, okay? Like, she's going through something. You need to show up as a friend right now. And then they do, like, a close-up of the empty tub. Like, ooh, the tub that Jen used to be in.
Don't nail her to the cross on this one. And Jen's like, this is real life for me, okay? And the only reason I'm still here is for my relationship with Heather. But Whitney,
And she, like, you know, like, gives her hand to the camera. And Whitney's like, Jen, come back. Jen, you know I'm a shoot straight. Damn it.
I was trying to provide a little metronome for you.
Jen, the last thing I want to do is to hurt you. I know more now than ever that was the wrong place and the wrong time.
And then Jen starts doing this bullshit. She goes, you know, you guys can bring anything to me. You can bring anything to me. And when he's like, I tried. But then Heather came in. They're acting as if Heather came in brandishing machetes and like with firecrackers on her head. Like she was like the biggest distraction and disruptor. And so then, of course, Heather's like, you know what? It was poorly timed on my part. I fucked up, you know, because I came in like, girlfriend, these girls be talking about you. And I shouldn't have been like that. I should have been like, girlfriend, this party be awesome.
You know what? I'm just going to live in my truth from now on. I'm divorced. Fucking deal with it. Live, laugh, labia. Okay? That's it. Now, you know what Lisa's done to me, Jen. You know what she has done to me. And I had to think about it. And I guess she's talking about Lisa saying, oh, yeah, I heard you were a good time girl. Woo! Yeah. And lift up her shirt.
And not really saying hi to her at a party in the first episode. We all remember.
You know what she's done to me. And I feel like you want to be Lisa and Meredith's friend more than my friend. I do. And I'm totally terrified about it. And Jenny goes, about what?
And so, yeah. And basically Heather's like, you know, when I'm not the go-along, get-along girl, which is funny because now we've had Heather described as the good-time girl. And then what was it last week? She was something, another type of girl. She's always some sort of something girl. But she's like, when I'm not the go-along, get-along girl, when I draw a line in the sand, people leave me. Like with Billy, the first time I did it, when I drew that line in that sand and said, you know what? That glory hole was kind of funny. He left me.
She's like, you know what? And then, like, I'm terrified of losing our friendship because, like, you being like, girl, you're done. I'm, like, with Meredith and Lisa now. And, like, I've just been swallowing that because it's more important to be your friend. Like, I have PTSD from my marriage, okay? I'm the put-up, shut-up girl, the get-along, go-along girl, the good-time Sally. Come on! And when I say what I really think, I mean, I'm the Billy left the girl. You know what I mean?
I'm the 1 + 1 = 2 on my calculator girl. I'm the puts things up with scotch tape in a little loop behind the paper girl. I'm the
sniffly, snuffly, stuffy nose so you can rest at night medicine girl. You know what I mean?
I'm the it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno girl.
I'm the got milk girl, you know? So... You know, just thinking that you could leave me, you know, Billy left me. And, you know, if Jen leaves me too, I can't take it. And Jen's like, Jen's totally weirded out because this has turned into an apology to Jen having to like deal with this insecure mess sitting in front of her now. Right. So she's like, yeah. Well, I mean, you can talk to me. So if you feel like this, you can tell me. But and she doesn't say, I don't want to be friends with those girls more than you. She just avoids the whole thing.
Yeah, she just says she can talk to her. And so then Whitney's like, I want to jump tubs right now, okay? Because I want you to know that I was coming at you like a girlfriend. So I'm going to jump tubs because I'm a really good dancer. I don't know if you know this. Look, I'm in Heather's tub and I'm in your tub because I'm a tub teller. No. I'm a truth tub. No. Okay, I'm going back to the first tub.
Will you forgive me, Jen? And Jen's like, yes. And she tells us, I'm accepting it, but I'm not completely over it because my marriage isn't over it. And when you mess with me and you mess with my family, that is the worst thing you can do.
So now we go over to Blue Sky Yurt for a very random scene. I thought, I was like... It was funny because after the hot tub thing was done, or the bathtub thing, I was like, well, that was a good episode. Oh, there's 20 minutes left? Wait, what's going on? So,
even recapping it feels over. All right, it's 51 minutes. Let's get out of here. Bye, everybody. They go to a yurt.
Blue Sky Yurt. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, I'm at a yurt. Okay. So, there's going to be a 3-course dinner. Hey, chef, I'm really excited to see what you choose to pair with Vita Tequila.
It's all a dinner to see what you compare with Vita Tequila.
It's a blogger dinner, okay? This is what it is. It's a blogger dinner. She's like, I've set up a very intimate dinner with some very special VIP list people. Like, for instance, there's Angie, who has a blog called Utah Hubcaps, the best in hubcaps in all of Utah. And there's Maria. She has a store called Glitz and Glamour. It closed 5 years ago, but she's hoping for a relaunch. Everyone, welcome to the year. Welcome.
This is Felicia. She's done a really good job as a single mother making money, reselling things off Alibaba and putting her own name on the back. Congratulations, Felicia.
This is Marianne. She actually wrote the Wikipedia entry on Celeste Pizza. Yeah.
So she's like, you know what? I'm really excited to have people on the VIP list that will appreciate the experience. It said, come to Vita Tequila Launch. Love, Queen of Sundance. So, oh my God, you know what, Felicia? Listen, Alibaba, can you get fur like this? No, you can't. But Meredith Marks can, because this is fur by Meredith Marks. We actually shaved it off of her back and dyed it purple. How do you think it feels?
And Angie Harrington, you're a fashion blogger. What do you hear about these new 2-for-1 ski mask deals? Yeah, I love that.
So, every single woman here is a powerhouse, and they're also great at building up other women. Plus, they don't throw glasses or punches or twerk. Some of them breed, but that was mostly in the past, so I'm letting it go.
Yeah, this is a really elegant and sophisticated setting on, like, Tap Golf. So, yeah, this is more my vibe, okay? This isn't some Valter's bullshit or Tap shit. This is Meredith Marks, okay? And I need more events like this in my life. This is what I need, to be in a tent on a mountain with bloggers.
Hi, I'm Felicia Marks, the Alibaba lady. I just wanted to ask you, Meredith, how did you get into the jewelry business? And Meredith is like, well, 15 years ago, I was standing on a highway in heels and ski goggles, and I was in real estate, and I just wanted to change. So, you know, I started slowly. That's that.
That is not an answer. What does that mean?
Hi, this is Vanessa Fischetti. I'm famous for putting humorous ads in the Penny Saver. Question, was it hard to build a client base?
Well, what you do is you sell to one person and then two people come in the store and it goes from there. Next question, please.
You know, I gotta tell you, it's incredible being you know, at a sophisticated event with ladies who want to build each other up.
I've got charred avocado Caesar salad. The acidity in the Caesar goes really well with the saltiness in the tequila. Love that! I love that! Oh my God! I love the tequila trout.
Yeah! Why don't trout swim in tequila? That would be so much better for them.
We should all give a toast. And by toast, I mean this toast that came with the Caesar is amazing with Vita. We're all amazing moms and amazing businesswomen and amazing friends. Cheers.
It's like, nice try on a recast, but this is not going to be your recast, ma'am. Because you know, this whole episode, they've been talking about how they're just too classy for the other ladies. I'm sorry, nobody wants to watch this show, you know, about the sister of Cece's Pizza, okay? Nobody wants to see this.
I think that, yeah, I didn't really understand this scene. I was like, is this supposed to be trying to position them as these two, like, elitist snobs that just are like, you know, trying to pretend like they're above it? But it didn't really quite do that to me. To me, it was just like something happening at a yurt, and I was like waiting for a scandal or like Mary to show up or something, but it was just eating trout in a yurt.
Yeah, this was like a typical scene that they do on this show. They do that on the show with the cast mixed in with all the ladies, and then they have fireworks in front of the cast. But these two were like, no, you know what? If they're going to act classless like that, we're going to show them how to have a housewives show that's classy with women who support each other. Which, you know what? I'm not watching that show. Sorry.
I walked right into our executive producer's office and I said, if we don't do a scene in a classy yurt, I'm done. So guess what? We got a scene in a classy yurt. Thank you.
I think it was just weird because it was positioned so late in the episode, right? Like, it felt like it was going to be teeing up for something. I thought, like, it felt like something you might see in the first 15 minutes. But I was like, ooh, some rumor is about to be announced to this table of women, and it's going to come back to haunt everything, right? But it was literally just like eating trout in a yurt.
Yeah, it was a very Vita commercial scene. So then Jen is at home and Sharif finally comes home and he's very coach about it. He's like, hello, baby. So why don't we sit out here so we can visit for a bit? Come into my office, the living room. Thank you.
I brought a playbook for this discussion we're about to have. The circles are you and I am the X's. And you just send your circles through that way and my X's will go this way and sort of do some zone defense on you. And in the end, we're going to hug. Okay, great. Let's start.
So she's scared. You know, she's like, oh my God, is he going to divorce me, basically? Like, if I finally push this man too far? So she starts with, I don't understand why we haven't talked for 4 days. And he's like, well, there's lots of reasons. You know, I was really upset. And so it's probably best for me to just walk away when I'm that pissed off. I don't want to talk when I'm that mad. And the party was great. But then you start drinking and you can't control your emotions. And I don't even know what that fight was about. But I know that alcohol doesn't help.
So I started to get mad at him at this point, I started to get mad because I don't love that answer of I was really angry and I didn't want to talk when I was angry. So therefore, I ghosted you for 4 days. I get like I need to cool down. I get that. I don't really approve of the ghosting for 4 days. I don't think that's cool for anyone to really do. So I was like, no, no, no. In my mind, I was like, no, Sharif. I was being like all like Brooks Marks about it on the inside. Like, no.
But, yeah, he could have at least said, listen, I'm really pissed off right now. I need some time to cool down. You know? Exactly. So, something you know, he like could that. Have at least done that.
He didn't have to disappear. He could be like, give me some space. I want to process, you know? So then, but then I actually was very pleasantly surprised for both of them with the way the scene went, because she basically is like crying. And I actually felt like this was a very honest Jen Shaw scene. It didn't feel to me as performative as her other things, like splashing water in the bathtub. So she basically says like she drinks to numb herself because he's not there. And she's like, I'm numbing the pain because I'm depressed. I'm sad. I'm still fucking sad because my dad passed away. I'm still fucking dealing with that, but I'm supposed to suck it up and be okay. And I'm not strong enough, Sharif, to keep doing this. Which I feel like is a very, like, very honest and real thing. And I was, like, all of a sudden very invested.
You know, I have to disagree. And I know really? That this is probably going to rub people the wrong way. But I'm sorry. You just acted like a total asshole and embarrassed him in front of everybody he knows. This is not your time to get him about everything that he's done wrong. You know what I mean? Because, like, he's pissed. So instead of saying, I'm sorry for what I did, it's my dad died and you're never home. And so I'm depressed. Okay. But that's like a different conversation, you know? Like, you don't get to play those cards when you just fucked up that majorly. But it does, and it leads to
I don't know. So I politely disagree. No, because I think that actually it sort of is the same conversation, because she did fuck up, and she's sort of saying why she's been fucking up. Because he's basically like, you and alcohol. And she's like, well, don't you see? I'm like... Like, it's not just like, oh, me and alcohol. It's like me and alcohol trying to basically cover up this, like, huge amount of rage I have and sadness that really hasn't been resolved, you know? So I felt like that was actually, like, that worked for me. I don't know if it's up for me to have it to work for, but like...
Well, I started softening a little in this part, because then she starts saying, you know, you're never here. And when my dad passed away, like, I needed you. You know, that whole week I'm in the hospital, I had to make all the decisions. I even had to make the decision to take him off machines, you know? And I have to pretend that I'm being strong, but I wasn't strong. You know, I needed help. And so I've been angry with you. Like, you couldn't even go to my dad's funeral. And so, you know, I'm with her on that part.
Yeah, I think that's really hard for someone to take on. And I was actually really glad to see them communicating about this. I didn't even realize I was invested in them like this. But because I'm imagining on his end, he was like, well, you know, I thought you had it all. I didn't think that, you know, you needed that because you seemed like you had it together. But she was clearly just pretending. So I can really imagine how something like that could be kind of traumatic, and you can carry a lot of stuff from that. And so then he's like, he's looking all pained, and he's like, I didn't understand, you know, because you hadn't opened up like this, but we can get better from here. And he's like, I get it. And then he says this thing, which I thought this was like lovely. He's like, you know what, when I lost football because of my neck injury, I went to a really dark place and it was really bad. And I was using, part of that was because of alcohol. And hey, by me telling you that, are you ashamed of me? And he's like, of course you aren't. And like, it's just how I would never be ashamed of you. And I was like, oh, I forgive you, Sharif.
So she's basically, you know, she feels guilty that she hurt him. And it's the first time they've talked about all this. And she's like, you know, I don't want to get upset and angry anymore. I want to do what I'm supposed to be doing. But you know what? It's hard for me. And yeah, I get that, but like, you losing your shit, like to the point where you're throwing shit. Yeah. And I mean,
she's still like be able to like control herself. I mean, look, yeah. It's like, this is like what it was on Vanderpump Rules last year, right? With Lala and, you know, Ariana was like, yeah, I mean, it's terrible what you went through. It doesn't give you an excuse to be an asshole, you know?
Yes, and I agreed with that too. So I think I come from a harsher place when it comes to stuff like that, because like, you know, I get that pain, but that's not an excuse for everything all the time, you know? And sometimes people get that way where it's like, oh my God, you rear-ended somebody? My dad died. Well, right. You know, no, I mean, that's probably worse because rear-ending somebody is an accident, but you know what I mean.
No, I mean, I agree. I don't think that, you know, people have to still ultimately be accountable for their actions. But I guess in my mind, my emotional context of coming into the scene was less like, oh, she has to apologize for what she did. It was more like, oh, he's been ghosting her for 4 days. They need to sort this shit out. So I was like, I guess in my mind, the accountability for how she acted at the party was like less important to me.
Well, that's good because she didn't take any.
Hey, that worked out pretty well, though.
Because my last note is she never apologizes. Ha 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 ha. My final note. I knew it. But that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. You want to check in with Atlanta?
Let's do it. Okay, so I'm just running down the time codes so that way people can find it easily. So Atlanta. You know, Real Housewives of Atlanta, new episode last night. So it opens up with shots of things going on around the city. We see Kenya at a place called Hook, Line, and Schooner, which was, I don't know why I wrote that down. It's like, look at that restaurant. Next time I go to Atlanta, I want to go to Hook, Line, and Schooner. Schooner. Is it Schooner or Schooner?
I think it's Schooner.
Schooner. You know why I'm saying Schooner? Because I watched that Fran Lebowitz show. Did you see that? Pretend it's a shitty. No. It's basically Fran Lebowitz just bitching about every single thing under the sun, which is basically what we do. And
well, you know what? If they sold the show like that, I would have watched it. But they're like, the iconic Fran Lebowitz discusses the history of New York City or something like that. And I was like, no, I don't need that.
No, it's not like
but if
that.
It was like Fran Lebowitz bitches about everything, I would have watched it 5 times by now.
It's literally like a nonstop flow of her bitching about things. Because I didn't even know it was even
a show. Did she talk like this? She's like, hi, I'm friendly.
She spends the entire time talking like this, okay?
Like this?
You know what? All right. Public transit. I take the bus. I like the bus. I drive the bus. I don't know why people are on the bus, okay? I take the bus everywhere I go. People talk to me. I'm like, why are people talking to me? I don't need people to talk to me. And then Martin Scorsese just sits there next to her and goes, okay, let me tell you something, okay? People in New York City, they don't see anything. They stop. And I say, how about this? Pretend it's a city. Pretend it's a city for once in a while. I walk. Do I walk? Do I stop? No. Do I stop? Do I have a phone? I don't have a phone. This is, by the way, I've never done a Fran Lebowitz impersonation. I'm really feeling it. Anyway, it's literally just her bitching. And it's like simultaneously, it can be like very, very funny. And then at the same time, you think, gosh, this lady is a lot. And I'm like, am I like this? Because she bitches about things the way I feel like I bitch about things. So I'm like reexamining how annoying I am to people. But it's funny.
Yeah, my New Year's resolution was to stop complaining and being negative. And I lasted, I think, 6 minutes. And I kept catching myself, you know, and I'd be like, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing that. I don't want to be that person. And then at one point I was like, you're 46. I mean, this is it. Okay, just cover it with as much flower language as you can because you ain't changing, bitch. Okay.
Yeah. I think
let's switch it back to lose 20 pounds because that would be easier. So then we go to Kenya, who is, or were you with Kenya? We're with Kenya. And she's with a lady named Jermaine.
We're approaching Kenya. Yeah. Jermaine.
And they're having a meeting about Kenya's signature line is to regrow your natural hair. Less is more. I want things everywhere. If Cynthia doesn't cry when she sees my new line, you're going to get me a refund.
Then we go over to Drew and Ralph making their big return to the show after last week's absence. And they're teaching Makai, their son, how to bike. So that's happening. And then we see Cynthia and Mike, and Cynthia's like looking at her laptop, I guess, with the wedding invitations and stuff. And she's like, Jill, you know, we thought because of COVID and because of Atlanta being a hotspot and because of sending the invites out a month before the wedding that we'd only have about 100 people, you know, 50 each. And Mike's like, when did we think that? When did we think that? I'm like, Cynthia, do you hear the words coming out of your mouth because of COVID and Atlanta being a hot spot? Why are you having
an event? She's just stubborn. She's not. She's so stubborn, and she's going to do what she wants to anyway. She's like, we had no idea that inviting 250 people, that 250 people would come.
Yeah.
Why are you inviting so many people in the middle of a pandemic? And she literally articulates that it's a hot spot. Although now it's LA. Of course, LA, we're number one. We're number one.
Yeah, and so they're talking about how she wants to invite her father, even though her mom will be really pissed because her mom doing Kenya's domestic violence PSA last year caused a huge rift, and she's still mad about that. And then, you know, bringing the dad, she's going to be extra pissed. And then we see a clip of that PSA where the mom was saying, talking about how the dad got so angry that once he grabbed a knife and threatened to kill her.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, don't fucking invite your dad. It's like, you're fucking crazy. Like, I like Cynthia generally. I mean, I think she's boring as hell, but generally I like her. I think she's a nice person, but she's pretty shitty and selfish this whole year, you know?
She really is.
Shitty to even bring that up. Like, I get that you have a dad, but you don't even talk to your dad, and your dad beat the shit out of your mother. What the fuck are you talking about right now?
Yeah, I agree. So, speaking of PSAs, we go over to Ralph.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I have two things to say. Oh, one, yes. Mike Chill has a huge tattoo of a microphone on his bicep.
I noticed that, and I was like, should I mention it?
Which is
an old-timey microphone, as if he's about to do doo-wop on it.
Yeah. Mr. Sandman! It's like that kind of microphone. And then is the music choice for this whole episode. I don't know who decided they were going to get some scrawny little, you know, methed-out white guy from Seattle to do emo for the entire episode. But did you notice it? It's like,
there was like some EDM or something. Oh,
take me home, and take me home.
Who's doing the music?
I know.
For this episode?
This fake Tiesto that's playing. I don't know. Atlanta seems like it's basically made with like popsicle sticks and tape these days. I don't know what is happening with this show. But so then we go over to Drew and Ralph, and they're like, they're packing because they're moving. And Ralph, of course, is mansplaining how to pack glasses, and he's like wrapping them up with paper. And he's like, this is how you pack up a glass. You take some paper and you stuff it on the inside, then you wrap it up on the outside. It's like, wow, Ralph, thanks for like blowing my mind on simple concepts. That was amazing. Who would have thought that the way you wrap up a glass is wrapping it in paper like that?
Yeah. And now their argument is between paper versus bubble wrap. Yeah. And they have two scenes. Either they want us to see that they're fighting all the time and that they're the Bickersons, or how much they just love each other. It's like one of those. And today is that we're Bickersons, but we're also super wacky and love each other. Watch us fight over wrapping glasses and paper. Oh, God, I love you, honey.
I know. And I guess the thing that he does is that he wraps them in paper, but then in bubble wrap also. And then, like, Drew's mom, who just despises him, is just watching and just so angry. And Drew's like, what do you think, mom? And she's like, well, I've always used just paper. I mean, you're going to run out of bubble wrap doing that. And Ralph goes, it's the way everyone does it. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, Ralph. I wasn't up on the trends in Bubble Wrap magazine. Sorry.
Yeah. So they're talking about how his dad passed away. And Drew has brought balloons for them to let go into the sky, which I know has just probably pissed everybody off, because you're not allowed to do that anymore, okay? Guys, in the modern world, that's very bad. So they go outside and they're like, I love you. Love you, Dad. We're going to work on this. I'm going to be the man you want me to be, but I'm still going to be me, so you better accept me. She's like, I do love you, and I'm going to let all my anger with you go. Let's let these balloons go. And they do. And they're like, thanks, Papa Pittman. And then like 10 birds fall dead from the sky.
I was also like, is the season finale next week? Are we just wrapping up this arc right now? Like, what's going on? I was like, we're still like in the middle of the season. Usually these things don't get wrapped up until later, unless there's going to be a relapse, which there probably will be. So then we go over to Candy, who's doing makeup for her YouTube channel. And we learned that her charity, Candy Cares, is going to be doing this big grocery giveaway for families and stuff. And she's going to be bringing all the girls together to help out. And she's also dealing with trying to get like you know, owed back money from her ex. What's his name again? I want to say Bolt, but it's not
Block.
Block.
Yeah, Block.
Bolt or Block. Things that get in the way of doors. So she's actually speaking with Michael Sterling, as we all remember, of Michael and Eva.
Yeah.
You know, et cetera, about getting this money, et cetera.
Yeah, and so she's talking about setting up a trust for Riley with this money. She's never getting this money. We all know this, right? But she's going to try anyway. And then her makeup lady's like, that judge is going to be like, you're denied. You have enough. And she's like, well, it's for Riley. And she goes, girl, you're not supposed to be getting support now. I mean, you're going to wait till she's 18 and then be like, where's my money? I was like, oh, my God, you're fired. Hi, enjoying being fired during times of COVID. Get out.
I know. Candy gave her such a look. It was, this woman must be real close, because she had no problem just going in on Candy. And Candy was like, like, Candy gave her a look, and then she was like laughing. But you know that Candy was annoyed. That makeup lady is going to get a stern talking to from Don Juan later.
Yes. That lady is going to have like Don Juan's heel print on her forehead later. That was shitty. And stop taking the fucking man side. Like, what the hell?
But she's not necessarily wrong, by the way. When she's like, yeah, that judge is going to be like, denied. There's, you know, there's a lot of injustice in this world.
Yeah, yes, that's fucked up.
I think she's basically speaking to the fact that, you know, the system doesn't always work out. Speaking of systems, there's no transition. I just said that. There's no transitional quality to this. We now go over to another restaurant where Portia and Cynthia are gathering to have dinner, and they're just sitting there at a table, and they're making small talk about bringing PJ to a daycare center and everything, and Portia's telling Cynthia just how excited she is for the upcoming wedding and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and Portia's saying that she, you know, she's talking about her relationship, and she's saying that she's just mad at him all the time, and she's so mad she doesn't even recognize herself. And she's like, and then I didn't understand this. Maybe you can help me. She says, I'm fussing about him, back flapping, split, you know, she's talking about gaining weight. And she goes, I just want to tell him when he tells her to come to the house, bring me some ham. Meaning the girl that he was cheating with, I think. Like,
What was happening?
Because I was so confused. Listen to what I have, first, and then you can explain it. Tells her to come to the house, bring me some ham, and then someone starts to take my ham from the house, and I get snippy, and I asked for a bottle. Okay, so then we go into the next part. What was she talking about with ham?
Okay, well, first of all, let's also, by the way, give a shout out to this waitress who was really doing God's work of trying to snoop in on this conversation, because every time they started to talk about something juicy, the waitress would show up. And even Cynthia was like, every time we're about to say, could you just go over there for 10 minutes? I need to get some information. But no, Portia is saying that she's like, you know, she is getting more cranky. She's gained weight. And she said, I tell my sister when she comes to the house, bring me some ham. But then if someone takes the ham, then if someone takes my ham, I get really mad if someone takes my ham from the house, which is funny because isn't she vegan right now? So why is she making all these ham requests? Okay. Wasn't just last week she was like, I'm vegan. I'm like, you know that ham isn't vegan. Like, not only is it not vegan, it's not kosher, it's not halal. It's like basically like really.
It's like the meatiest meat you could meet.
It's like the Vanderpump rules of foods. Just kind of like a lot of people are like, we're not sure about that anymore.
I did not get that story, and I knew you'd be able to explain it to me, so thank you. So she says that she just flies off the handle all the time, and then the other day he was over, and she said, could you go downstairs and get me a bottle? And he said, okay, and then he stayed downstairs for 20 minutes. She's like, and then he came upstairs, and I went off. Like, the man was gone. It's like, well, okay, honestly, I get that you don't want to be that angry, but that also is frustrating that a guy leaves for 20 minutes to get a fucking bottle when you're the one putting the baby down and getting the baby fed.
What the fuck is he doing downstairs for 20 minutes? I am totally on Portia's side, and I don't think that she has to feel like a crazy person. Like, this has always been my issue with Dennis, is that he is the sort of person where you say, hey, can you get me something like for our baby downstairs? And he goes down there for 20 minutes and gets lost. Like, that to me, like, This is classic Dennis, and I totally think that Portia should not feel like she's a crazy person.
But also, Portia, I just don't think, listen, I'm not married, so, and I get that, but I just don't think she understands marriage, because she says this. She goes, you know what? It's like, once I started punishing him, I couldn't get out of the habit of punishing him.
It's called marriage. What else are you supposed to do?
Well, you know what? She's just struggling with the idea of ham and veganism, so let's just like do some baby steps. Okay, we're gonna work our way up to marriage, but first we gotta sort out veganism.
Yeah, so basically this transitions into Cynthia saying, well, you know, Mike wants to bring Hot Dog King to the wedding. He wants to invite him, and if you don't want him to come, I'll take it back to him and let him know. And Portia's like, yeah, no. No. She goes, I don't want him to come, so I need you to use your coochie credit, okay? She's like,
you know, put your shoulder down, look sexy, because you got to work this out for me now.
By the way, the guys on this show are such pieces of shit sometimes. Like, how many times does this have to happen? Isn't this like the third time we've encountered a storyline where, like, Todd wants to invite, like, Apollo to something? Or, so, like, if there's an ex... These guys just don't care. Or maybe it was Peter. They wanted to invite Peter to an event or whatever. It's like, Mike, Dennis may be your boy, but he's ultimately Portia's ex, and Portia is more important right now, okay? Like, I think he just wanted free hot dogs at the party. Okay, I think that's what this is all about.
He wanted a Hot Dog King buffet. Yeah. So then we go to, like, Bailey, and Cynthia's on the phone with Noelle, who's just like... all in that mode where she's always gorgeous and always staring at herself, even while she's talking to you on FaceTime. She's just looking at herself, talk to you.
Yeah.
And what'd I say?
You go on. I'm going to save my comment. I'm reserving my comment for after whatever you're going to say.
Oh, she's got her own apartment in LA now, and she's an influencer. And I'm really trying not to hate on Noelle, but that's where I stand.
And here like, comes my comment.
You're an influencer in LA. Shut up, Noelle.
Here's Noelle's arc may possibly be actually one of the most depressing arcs we've seen on Real Housewives, which is bright, lovely young lady, still is a bright, lovely young lady, who just wanted to go to school and become a dentist. And now she's an influencer in LA. I mean, this world takes so much from us.
Yeah.
Why, Noelle? Why?
I just feel like that never ends well. But you know what? I guess we'll see. We're talking to a whole generation of influencers. Okay. So who knows? So Cynthia wants her in town to help her with the dress and, you know, just experience all of the wedding stuff with her. And Noelle's basically like, I have promotional stuff now, Mom. Like, I have contracts, so I have to be home. I have to be home to put on this face cream for YouTube, so figure it out.
Yeah, because she was making a Getting Ready With Me video or something. I don't know if that's like her brand of video or if that's a genre, sort of like a Let's Play video. But she's like, yeah, I got a lot of product to promote, so this time I can only stay for 2 weeks. I love that she could only stay for 2 weeks. As if, like, you know, I was thinking that she was going to say, I can only stay for 48 hours because I'm so busy. It's in and out. It's like, I can only carve out 2 weeks of time from my busy schedule to go to Atlanta.
So then we go to Candy Cares, and it's like a giant poster of Candy's face. It's like, Candy's face. Candy Cares. Look at the very bottom. So they're feeding 549 families, which is crazy. And all the girls start coming to help. And Tanya's just running around going, want some free milk? I've got free milk right here. Oh, this is wonderful, Candy.
Yeah, she's putting her boobs in Portia's face. Oh, Tanya time! So
and Portia tells them that PJ is sick. So here we are. COVID is overtaking the city, and everyone's freaking out. And Portia's like, all right, let me hug everybody. Portia's sick. She came home from daycare sick. Like, hello?
And then Kenya sees Portia, because Portia's on time, and so Kenya shows up, and she's like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, Portia, I see you came early for candy, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, and then Kenya tells us, so, Portia's on time for her photo op. Wonderful.
Now, I know we differ on certain things, and you know, one thing that we differ on is that I love Kenya's presence as an asshole, as someone who is like never afraid to stir up shit to at least keep things interesting. But that being said, Kenya, you're going after the wrong person this season. I'm sorry. You just can't.
Or the wrong things. I mean, she's going after her for such vile things.
I'm gonna blame Mark on this one. I feel like Mark sort of like messed up Kenya's calibration. Kenya should be going after, you know, someone like maybe she should be fighting with Cynthia, or like she should be trying to fight more with Drew. She's sort of trying to. She keeps calling Drew a stray. But going after Portia, who is like really beloved right now, I mean, maybe that's her whole thing. But like, yeah, like going after the BLM stuff, I'm like, Kenya, this is not, you're not really excelling at what you're usually great at.
I don't blame Mark. She's with Mark because she's a fucking horrible person too. No, I mean, give me a break.
I just wanted to come up with another reason to hate on Mark. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, she's at least trying to do something. But yeah, that's true. Going after Portia for is, eesh, it's cringe. So they're all filling the bags with different stuff. And Tanya's like, this is such fresh produce.
No, she's like holding up a pepper. Have you ever seen a pepper like this before? It's so fresh.
And Candy's like, thank you. Like she made the bell pepper. Yeah. So Marlo met her earlier at the farmer's market and did all the early morning shopping. And then Kenya bumps in and she's like, can we just have one person on blueberries and then one person on the tomatoes? Because we're each going towards the same bag. We need this organized. And Portia says, yeah, I think we all know that she just wants an opportunity to boss us around. Go ahead. Go on then.
And then we go over to Mike and Cynthia. They just got their marriage license. And Cynthia's like, well, unlike last time, I'm not letting this license out of my hands. Which means we get to cue the footage once again of her mom looking all shifty where they're like, where'd the marriage license go? Which I still believe that entire thing was fake.
Of course. It was so stupid. Like they can't get married without that piece of paper. We're going to have to tell the dinosaur museum we have to cancel. So
yeah, sorry. And I just don't think that Barbara and Mal would do that. Mal would just be like, oh, like,
yeah, but too, they like, showed that scene and Mal's like, should we tell her? And the mom's like, let's think about it. So Portia, then back to them, and Portia's like, well, I didn't tell you, you know, Mike said that he's going to invite Dennis whether I want him to or not. And Kenya's like, can we talk and work, people?
Yeah. And Kenya starts coming for Portia being like, oh, this is because like, she's basically saying, Kenya's basically saying, your issue is that you're just afraid that you're going to be vulnerable at the wedding and drinking Hennessy and you're going to go back to him. And like you know, you can't tell Cynthia to have self-control, but then you don't have self-control. And Portia's like, no, I'm just not in a good place. And basically like I'm on the outs with Dennis, and like Dennis is not central to this wedding or this group, so he shouldn't be there.
And Kenya actually has the nerve to go, yeah, but you and Dennis go back and forth so much, it's really hard to take you seriously. Excuse you. Look who's fucking talking, lady. Yeah, oh, my seriously. God. So the families arrive, and they start packing all the cars and stuff. And then Todd and Ace come. Ace, the hero of the show at the moment.
He's like, what? He's like, what do I need to do? He like literally has like a bucket and like Windex, and he's like the entire place is just so clean and sparkling.
And they put him in charge of the bread, as if I didn't love that kid enough. So then Marlo comes and they all go take a little lunch break at a picnic table. And Candy's like, it's not vegan friendly, I'm sorry. And Portia's like, what? Not even ham?
And then, like, Marlo gives, like, a check or whatever, and Candy says something about, you know, like, how she's not going to put anyone on blast about their giving, but some people aren't as giving as I thought they'd be. Although, I don't know who she was referring to. Was she referring to Marlo, or is she referring to...
I don't think so, because Marlo gave her $5,000, and she's like, here, you better count it, because I don't want to hear later that I gave 50 cents or something.
So then Drew FaceTimes in, which is, like, the first time Drew has like, interacted with the rest of the cast in, like, literally 4 weeks. And she's in quarantine, I guess, because they just got back from the her father-in-law's funeral. And she tells everyone that she's packing. And, you know, again, Kenya's like, oh, Cynthia always finds these strays. And then there's like this, hilariously, like lengthy discussion of where they should do their cast vacation, which is funny to me because this was actually the most realistic version of this we've ever seen on Bravo. Cause normally it's always like,
well, I was taking a bath the other day and, I noticed my towel was too far away from me. And I thought my towel is far. And you know what else is far? Guatemala. We're going to Guatemala.
And I was like, what? And this time it was like, so I was thinking we could go to the mountains. I love the mountains. What about Tennessee? I like a lake. Can we go to a lake? Can there be a store there? Like, and we just watched for 5 minutes as they like brainstormed places for their vacation.
And then it turns into Charleston somehow because they have a beach.
Well, they could have also gone to Tampa. Tampa has a beach, we heard.
Yeah, if you're bringing your husbands, that's definitely the place to go. That could be the field trip, trying to figure out where Ralph is going in Tampa. So then we go to Cynthia and Noelle driving. She's picked her up from the airport, or they're driving to her mom's house, I think. And they're driving, and Noelle just sits there and takes selfies of herself literally the whole time, giving sexy face in the camera. I would pull over that car and say, get the fuck out, okay? Get out.
I have to take her to dentistry school. Be like, we are resuming this process.
And at this one point, is my good friend, Dr. Heavenly. Have fun. You're stashing for her.
And then Noelle is like, the lighting in here is so good. Hey, let's take a picture together. Look. And Cynthia's like, I'm driving. And they're literally on a highway going 60 miles per hour. And Noelle wants to have Cynthia take a selfie with her. And I'm honestly surprised Cynthia didn't do it because I feel like Cynthia would be the type to do that.
Yeah. So Cynthia has to talk to her mom about inviting the dad. And Noelle knows that she's only using Noelle. She like waited to have Noelle in the room so that she, you know, would have a buffer between her and her mom. And Cynthia's like, yeah, basically.
So they get to the mom's house and the door, they get to the front door. The mom opens the door and the dog gets out and they're like, Bailey, Bailey. And I'm like, wait a second. Did they name their dog Bailey? Now, I'm sure the mom does not take the last name Bailey. Maybe she does. But if she does, does that mean the dog's name is Bailey Bailey?
Is it Bailey Bailey?
Bailey Bailey. That's like, I feel like that's like me naming a dog Mandelker.
Mandelker. Yeah, well, yours is trickier. Mandelker Mandelker. Yeah, Mandelker.
Oh, both pronunciations.
Yeah, got them both in there. Yeah. So they go in and Cynthia walks straight to the kitchen and she goes, are these the only pork chops you made, Mom? And because there's like half a pork chop in the pan. And the mom's like, well, Mal came first.
What? I just had one and a half. I mean, I had one and a half pork. I'm sorry, but I was here early. I needed one and a half.
And Cynthia goes, well, at least they're sweet potatoes. Mal, what did you eat the sweet potatoes too?
Mal apparently is a monster for sweet potatoes and pork. So this is a big episode for pork and ham. I mean, this is it's like, where is the ham? Where is the pork?
Yeah,
Mal, by the way, is also dressed like a ninja today, which is hilarious.
Yeah, because the other ladies have those like clear face shield things, the check cashing shields, and Mal has like the mask. So you can't tell. And you know that she's like sitting there laughing behind the whole thing. Because she's like,
what? I'm sorry that I had to come early. I was hungry.
Well, you know the reason why Mal ate that pork chop is Mal's probably thinking to herself, I know I'm probably going to be the only one that's actually wearing a face covering, a proper face covering, and not endangering her mother. So God damn it, I'm having that pork chop.
Yeah.
At least I'm not going to kill Mom.
So they do a family prayer, which of course Noelle is taking a selfie during. I mean, and then they talk about inviting the dad, and the mom's like, well, we'll see if you can get a marriage license. I already got it, Mom. Well, I hope you can find it. I have it, Mom. Damn. My another Trump pork card chop for you, is Mal. Used.
She's just going to make passive aggressive pork chops for Mal. Oh, you wanted one too, Cynthia? Sorry.
So they start talking about the PSA thing, and she's like, you know, Mom, we know that your feelings were hurt. She goes, well, actually, it's that you posted that picture on Instagram, you know, and you said, thank you for bringing me into this world. And Mal goes,
well, he did play a part in it.
She goes,
I had you. Hush, Mallory. And thanks for the fond time growing up. And Cynthia goes, I said thanks for the memories, Mom. She's like, what memories? What are you two talking about?
How about your memories of my pork chops and sweet potatoes? Because that's all you'll ever have going forward.
Yeah. So then she's like, yeah, well, I didn't really see my dad. You know, after they divorced, I saw him sometimes in the summer. And Mal says, well, I have a relationship with him. It's not the same as I have with you, but he's still my dad.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't hate him. I'm sorry. I don't hate him. And Barbara's like, okay, pork chop traitor, even though I gave you that pork chop, you can say that fine. She's like, listen, I never said I hated him. I just didn't like the way he treated me when I was younger, you know, and trying to get the child support and all this or whatever. And basically, now Barbara's saying that she didn't realize what that whole scene was. When she filmed the PSA, she didn't understand the context of what was going on, which sort of feels like a backpedal because, you know, apparently her friends and family were coming down hard on her, saying, like, why'd you lie about Mr. Bailey? And, like, why? Like, he goes to church. So she's been getting a lot of grief. So now she's saying, like, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. And Cynthia's like, yeah, but... I didn't know that when you agreed to go over to do Kenya's PSA on domestic violence that you didn't know what a PSA was and you didn't see the cameras and you didn't know it was going to be on TV. I'm sorry, Mom.
That's pretty bad, man. You do a PSA about your husband beating the shit out of you and almost killing you and everyone chooses the man's side and says, how could you do that to the man? Yeah. That's such bullshit.
I agree. And it's wrong that this woman feels that now she... like, is in such a place where she has to sort of, like, be like, I didn't know. Like, it is really, it's sad. It's
that
sad
grossed that, me out. That. Mm-hmm. So then Cynthia tells us that she's always felt guilty because her mom was so beautiful and she could have done anything. She could have been a model. But she got pregnant, and so she had to stay with Cynthia, and she always feels like she's responsible for that. And so she never, I mean, it was really sad. And then Noelle's like, basically Noelle jumps in and she's like, well, grandma never asked anything from us. And I can tell she agrees with me because she hasn't said anything. And I think it's clear what needs to happen. You shouldn't invite him. And Cynthia's like, okay, well, that's not why I brought you, Mal. glad you chose this time to not look in your phone. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the support.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, I think I have everything I need. I now realize that my mom has given me so much, my father hasn't, and she always puts me in front of her own emotions, and even though she says that she'd be okay, she'll just look the other way if my dad comes, she ultimately will be very upset, so I guess the decision's made for me. I'm inviting my dad.
Dad's coming. He's gonna get a ride with the hot dog factory guy, okay?
Dad and Dennis are coming together, and we're going to add 100 more people, and we're going to make sure it's super indoors. Great. Best wedding of the year.
So earlier you were saying that it feels like this show is put together with popsicle sticks and tape, and I was cracking up because that is this ending right now. Candy's voice, she goes... Coming up for the next few weeks on Real Housewives of Atlanta, join us on an epic girls trip. And then we see them in Charleston, they're strippers. And she goes, with enough twists and turns that will make you wonder. And then she never finishes the sentence. No, it just ends.
No, because someone goes, who did that? No, it does end. Someone goes, who did that?
I was like, they never finish the sentence? Oh, my God. I'm just too stupid, I didn't write it down.
Yeah, and there was something kind of, like, strange about this tease. It wasn't, like, still to come this season, or they didn't do one of those things, like, the next 3 weeks or the vacation that changes everything. It was, like, for the next few indeterminate weeks, because we haven't finished editing, so we don't know exactly how many episodes it will be, we're going to Charleston, and there'll be a stripper, and Kenya will dress up like Basic Instinct. And there'll be twists and turns in the magical world of Atlanta. I'm like, okay, this show is barely making it through the pandemic.
It really is. You know, some shows are doing better than others in the pandemic. I feel like this one's having some trouble for sure.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they rushed back into production to meet some sort of deadline. I kind of get that feeling before they were, like, really ready with all the COVID, you know, preparation. So we have, like... You know, I think it's really weird that Drew is a full-time housewife, and yet LaToya's had almost more screen time and more presence. Maybe Drew will be more central to the show going forward. I don't totally get it.
Yeah, I'm guessing, because it's usually a 24-episode season. It'll probably be shorter this year for COVID, but what was this, episode 11 or something?
No, this was episode 6.
Oh my God, that's it?
Well, but at the same time, episode 6, and they're already going on vacation. I have to assume this is the vacation. I don't think that they really have the luxury to do like an early season vacation and a late season vacation, especially because this thing that happened with the stripper, that all happened around, you know, October, right? And then this show started to air in, what, November or December? So we're having a pretty short season, which I don't mind, by the way. I think this is great to get these short, fun seasons. But yeah, it's definitely been interesting.
Yeah. Well, everybody, that brings us to the end of the show for the day. We'll be back tomorrow with a little Bolo Dick. So join us for that. And in the meantime, go get your tickets for the 2021 Crappies. You can find ticket links at watchwhatcrappens.com, and you can find the voting ballots over at watchwhatcrappens.com as well. So do it. Do it.
Yeah. Do it. We'll talk to you on the next episode.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res. She's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
He makes us squee. Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.